122nd Psalm, the first verse, is probably one of the more familiar passages of Scripture that you know, many of you know by heart, or you have heard and you're aware of. It starts off by saying it's a song of degrees of David. They feel that these psalms that has that special note to it are the songs of praise that were sung when they would go up to Jerusalem for the feast days. Jerusalem sets on the hills, and you have to go to a higher elevation to get there. It's a city that sets upon the mountain ranges and upon the hills. And any of you that have been there, you know as you travel in, it's an upward journey, and each level is a different level of degree and elevation as you keep climbing and climbing, particularly if you come in from the area of Tel Aviv and go into Jerusalem. And they would sing these songs as they would climb higher toward the place of worship. And this is one of those that they had their heart fixed on, being able to get not just to Jerusalem, but to get to the house of God. Because he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." So this is a psalm of praise, thanking God for the opportunity to go to church. I talk to a lot of pastors, and a lot of times it's just a common thing, and I'm always reluctant. I hate it when it's asked, when someone asks me, because I'm always afraid they'll take us wrong in the answer, and I never want to be misunderstood. But no matter what you do, somebody's going to misunderstand something you say. And I often, when you talk to preachers, about the first thing they'll say is, "What are you running?" And you know, sometimes it's just unbelievable to them that there are Sunday nights that we have more on Sunday night than Sunday morning. Not all the time, but the crowd that comes back on Sunday night. We had a full house this morning. We're down just a little bit tonight, but a lot of Sunday nights, our overflow room is filled like it is on Sunday morning. And then they ask about prayer meeting, and we tell them how many folks come to prayer meeting. And they say, "Oh, that would never work in our area." I hear that a lot. And they say, "That would never work. How do you get people to do that?" And I said, "Well, two things." I said, "First of all, they won't come back if you don't expect them to come back."
Amen.
I mean, if I come, the average preacher in America today, let me tell you what they do. They load the gun for Sunday morning only and then complain that they have a Sunday morning only crowd. They feel like they'll give their best sermon on Sunday morning. But to me, I'm just the opposite. I think that we ought to give our best on prayer meeting night. I think that's the faithful crowd that really pays the price to be there. We ought to be as prepared when we preach. Any of the preachers that preach on Wednesday night, you ought to be as prepared to preach. And I'll just tell you, if you go for a while and don't get a preacher, we have a lot of preachers here. We can't work them all in quickly. But I feel this way about it. When you do get up, you should have something to say. If you go longer between times to get up, you should be better prepared and ready to preach when that time and that opportunity comes. But if you don't expect them to come, they won't come. And the other thing, when they get there, there has to be something going on in the house.
Amen.
If nothing's happened in the house of the Lord, they have no desire to be there. The desire will leave. And when we get to the place that we don't have any expectation of the people, we don't have any expectation of the Lord. You know, I look forward to this Wednesday night. I'm expecting someone to be saved Wednesday night just as much as I expect someone to be saved on Sunday morning or Sunday night. And I think we should let folks know that every service in the house of God, when they attend the house of God, there is something that they can find inside the house of God that they cannot find anywhere else. Now, I know the Lord answers prayer anywhere. I know God forgives anywhere. But there's something about people coming together collectively for worship that we realize there is almost the visible presence of Christ Himself when people come together in collective worship. And that's what's happening here. He says, "You're coming collectively to worship the Lord." And therefore, folks will be drawn to that.
Amen.
They want to go somewhere where they know that God is in the midst of the people and working among the people, because that's the place where God can work in their life and in their home as well. I guess what provoked this whole message is I read an account, heard an account by a great man, Brian Abernathy, shared an account where that he had picked up a local newspaper and read an article in the newspaper. It was a stunning article, to say the least. But the janitor of a large church, downtown church, right in the area of a lot of poor people in a very rough area of town, the church reached out and tried to do all they could to witness to people and help people. And it's a very difficult area to raise children in. And the church was doing all they could to reach out to others. The janitor one day was cleaning the church and heard a scratching at the door. And went to the church to open the door, and there he found a lady that was covered in blood, gasping for breath, dying. He immediately calls 911. And after he calls 911, the next call was to the pastor. It wasn't just a matter of minutes until the police were there. The emergency medical people were there, and the lady dies on the front steps of the church, trying to get inside the church. Well, the detectives on the scene have that gruesome task of trying to figure out what happened. So right away, one of the detectives decides to follow the blood trail. So he starts down the blood trail, and it goes two blocks down from the church. He can tell that the woman had collapsed different times on her journey to the church because of the pool of blood and where she had fallen with her body down. She had left a blood trail all along that way, bleeding to death, stabbed multiple times, but had come two blocks, turned through an alleyway, went through the alleyway, went another half a block down, and there the blood trail led into an apartment complex and up the stairs to the second floor. And they follow the blood trail to a door that was closed. They go into the apartment, and there they find her boyfriend, live-in boyfriend, high and drunk, covered with blood, the bloody knife on the table, and they begin to inquire what had happened, the domestic violence, him unaware of what was going on. He stabbed her several times. So they looked at that, and they were so perplexed, not because of the violence. They'd seen that several times. Not because of the fact that someone was using drugs and alcohol. They were accustomed to that. But here's what bothered the police. On that journey of that two blocks, up an alley and half a block, right outside the door of the apartment, just a few feet down, was a convenience store. 24 hours a day, that store was open. There was always a clerk inside. But the woman, knowing that she was bleeding to death, didn't stop at the convenience store and ask for help. She'd come out of the alley, and on the first corner was a payphone, where in America, you don't have to pay a dime. You can dial 911 free of charge and call for help. But she didn't stop at the payphone. She kept crawling, fighting her way to get to the house of God. It was a mystery to the police until the pastor arrived. When the pastor arrived, they asked, "Do you know the lady?" "Oh, yes." He was weeping, said, "I know her well." Said, "Can you explain to us why she would have passed up so much help to try to get her? Maybe if she would have stopped somewhere along the way, help could have gotten there quicker, because we know how weak she got and how much she bled out during that time. Why did she keep going to the church?" He said, "I think I have your answer." Said, "She was in Bible study last night." And said, "And in the Bible study, you may not understand this," he said, "but conviction of the Lord came into the place." And said, "She began to weep uncontrollably. My wife and I spoke to her. She'd been coming off and on because during that time she could slip away from her boyfriend. And she was entrapped in this sin. And we talked to her about giving her heart to the Lord. And she said, I need so much help. She said, I'm so bound by sin, so bound by Satan, and I need help." And he said, "God will help you tonight, honey. You should ask the Lord to come in your heart." And said, "No, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to get some things straightened out.
And I promise you, come Sunday, I'm going to come to church and get the help that I need. But you know what? When death was coming upon her and she realized life was flowing out of her body, her thought wasn't turned to the convenience store because the help she needed couldn't be found at the counter of a store and couldn't be bought by any person that was there in that store. A clerk couldn't provide it for her. She didn't stop and call 911, as wonderful as that is, because she knew that she was dying and the dispatcher couldn't give her what she needed. She knew what she needed could be found in the house of God. She knew there was people inside the house of God that knew the Lord could help her and save her and give her the forgiveness that she needed. I wonder how many people even go one step further than that. They make it inside the walls of the church. Some of you are right here tonight inside the house of God. And the Lord has manifested Himself this morning and once again tonight. And everything you need is right here inside the house of the Lord. But yet you choose to leave without the help you need. I can relate to that because I get calls constantly to go out in the middle of the night and I hear screams of people cry, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me." The Lord helps them and gets them out of their mess, and I don't see them in the house of the Lord anymore. There's something wrong with that kind of an experience with God. Well, I'm going to preach whether you say amen or not. What's worse is we don't only have people that's dying right here in the doors of the church without the Lord. But we have people right inside the church that's dying without the Lord. I guess that's what thrilled my heart so much when Dave and Dave both got saved. They're right here, just almost within the shadows of the church, living in our community. Do you know how many people are living in our community? Someone said, "How do you plan to fill up a building like that when you all get it built?" Trust me, there's enough sinners within just a few minutes of this church that if they would get saved, the church would be full and running over. You don't have to go far to find people just within sight of the church that need the Lord. And oh, if we could somehow tell them what you need can be found here in the house of the Lord. Make the trip with us. It's worth the trip. And I thought about the things that had happened in the Bible in the house of the Lord. The help you need for your sin can be found right in the house of the Lord. In John chapter 8 in the morning, the Bible says He, referring to Jesus, came again to the temple. And it wasn't very long until the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they brought a woman to Jesus and said she was caught in the very act of adultery. I love it when the devil plays in the hands of God. They made two major mistakes. First, they brought this woman to the house of God. And second of all, Jesus was in the house. When you get people to the house of God and the Lord is present in the house of God, it doesn't matter what their sin is. Jesus was there. They told them everything. I've often wondered, maybe my mind goes astray sometimes and I think about things that I shouldn't think about too much. I'll understand it one day, but it won't matter then. But I've often wondered, where was the man at? We know what the Bible taught. If she was in the act of adultery, whoever she was with was in the act of adultery too. But they brought the woman. That shows their prejudice to this woman. They picked on a woman because they could pick on her. You know something? The devil will pick on you because you let him. He'll only take advantage of people that will let him take advantage of them. If you decide tonight to get to Jesus and you say, "Devil, enough is enough. Thank God there is not a sin that you've committed, but what God can't help you with." And Jesus said, as He wrote upon the ground, "I I don't know if he wrote what they had done themselves, their private sins, but whatever it was, it pierced their conscience, and their conscience was troubled, and conviction came, and they left one by one until finally, here is this sinful woman with Jesus, but it's all right because she's in the house of the Lord, and she's with Jesus. And he said, "Woman, where art thine accuser?" And she said, "Lord," and she looked around, "no man condemned me." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more." Isn't it something? We can come to church as a sinner and leave with a brand new lease on life. And Jesus will say, "I'll forgive your sin and go and sin no more." The help you need for your sins right here in the house of the Lord. The healing you need for your sickness is right here in the house of the Lord. Matthew 21:14 says, "And the blind and the lame came to him." Jesus, where? In the temple. And he healed them. Maybe we'd see more folks healed if more folks ask him to heal them. He was there in the temple. Some of those sicknesses, people weren't allowed in the temple because of certain sicknesses they had. But you know what? They overrode the ideas of man and said, "I've got to get to the house of God because there's one there called Jesus that I know that he can heal me if I get to the Lord." Folks, we've seen some dynamic healings over the years inside this church. But I'll just be honest with you. It's been a while since we've seen some supernatural healings. But I think it's time for the church to rise up again and say, "In the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, let the God that made these bodies heal them as well." And it's time for us to say, "Enough is enough. As far as I'm concerned, Carl Eckhart has lied in ICU and been there all of these days. He's laying there as long as he should have to lay there." I think it's time for somebody to come together and say, "Let's get a hold of Jesus. We're in the house of God. And let's pray for something supernatural and divine to happen. And God to grant him the healing that he needs." I'm feeling good whether you are or not. He heals people. Now, I get accused of being Pentecostal for preaching this. A guy told me one time, he said, "Do you all anoint people in your church and pray for them?" We sure do. Why? Because it works. It's in the book of James. You ought to go home and read it. "Is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church." Where do you suppose they call the elders? Where's all the elders usually at? In the house of the Lord. "Let him call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick." Thank God for a church that still believes God has the power to heal. God has the power to overcome diseases in our body. God has the power to perform surgery and never leave a scar. He's the God that healeth thee. And the Lord has done so many things. If we're not careful, we'll take that for granted and forget what God has done, and we'll fail to glorify the Lord and say, "If you're sick, you're in the right place tonight, because you're in the house of the Lord, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is the Son of Righteousness that's risen with healing in his wings, and thank God he has power to heal." Oh, I prayed and I wasn't healed. Well, I can show you hundreds of people that prayed and were. I'll tell you one thing. Folks all the time say this: "You step out there by faith, and what if they die?" I'd much rather preach the funeral of someone that I can look the crowd in their eyes and say, "With all of my heart, I believe the Lord to heal them," as to never pray the prayer of faith for healing for an individual. I went in the ICU this week. One of the little nurses there looked at me, said, "It's the strangest thing when I come out." Said, "It's the strangest thing. Those people, they can't even hear you." and you just walk in there and they're on a ventilator and they're paralyzed, and you walk over there and you just pray and pray and pray and they can't even hear you. I said, I'm not praying to them. The Lord can heal. And the Lord can hear. You say, why does God take some folks on home? Well, Mike, I know we prayed for healing for your brother. That's why I can meet the Lord one day in judgment and say, Lord, I believed you to heal him. But best of all, the Lord saved him. And the Lord said, while he's saved, I'm just going to go ahead and take him on home to a land where sickness will never come. But still, we have every right as a child of God to believe God to heal in sickness. The harmony you need for your separation and solitude is found right here in the house of God. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. That's the house of the Lord. And there was a man there that was lame from his mother's womb, begging alms. He'd never been inside the house of the Lord because he couldn't get in. He's like some unsaved people that's come here. They've come looking for something, but because you wouldn't give them your seat, they couldn't get in. Well, how do you know that? Because I've talked to them. I went out there. I went to four or five people, and they yelled at me. Good thing they didn't know who you were, because I'd preach the shingles off your roof. I mean, this is all about winning souls, folks. It's not about our convenience. It's not about how comfortable we are. Here he was right outside the temple at the gate, but he couldn't get in. The gate called beautiful. A beautiful place, but a bad situation. But he knew. He'd just try to make the best of it. He thought, there's no way I'll ever get inside. So he begged alms of Peter and John, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There he is, Jesus, in the house of the Lord again. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Strength entered into his legs and into his ankles. And do you know what happened when he got up? Do you know the first place that he went? Into the temple. He went to church. You know why? Because once the Lord does something for you, you've just got to keep coming back here. And you've got to get to the place. And he not only went to the temple, but he went into the temple leaping, praising God. I tell you what, folks, I'm sick to death of dead churches. I'm tired of folks that say you've lost your mind if you praise God. You were at one time in your life at a place you couldn't lift yourself up and you couldn't save yourself. But one day the Lord passed by and picked you up out of your sin and gave you everlasting life. That's why we've got to get in the house of the Lord every now and then and lift our voice in praise and say, thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. You've got to jump around a little bit. Some of you have had it so long now you forgot what it was to get saved. But he went in leaping and praising God. Oh, folks, if you could only see tonight the one that is here to help you. My prayer is this, Lord, don't let us get in the way to keep people from finding what they need in the house of the Lord. You made it through the doors, but that's still not the help you need. Here's one for you. You can make it out of your seat and make it all the way to this altar and still not get the help you need. Because you'll not find the help merely by coming to the house of the Lord. You find the help by coming to the Lord of the house of the Lord. When you come to God and say, God, I need you. I need your help. He'll help you.
But if you want it to happen, you've got to ask Him. If you don't ask Him, if you ask not, you'll receive not. But if you ask, you'll receive.